It's time for The Drive on TSN 1200, sending you home with everything you need to know about sports. Now with AJ Jakubek, here's Lee Versage.
Good afternoon. Welcome to The Drive here on TSN 1200. Hope you're doing well on a Monday afternoon. Oh, baby, there is a lot to talk about. Coming off of just a fantastic weekend, chock full of sports. A lot of good, some bad, and a little in between. AJ Jakubek, Matt Konnisvita. AJ, how you feeling on a Monday afternoon? Got a lot to dig into here.
I'm good. Good to be with you. Hello, Lee. Hello, Matt. Hello, everybody.
Hello, everybody. Starting with a little Lulu to Sir with Love. And why, you might ask?
Yeah, I think a lot of people driving down the road right now are asking why.
What was the number one song for the year 1967?
Now, what would the number one song of 1967 have to do with the middle of May in 2022?
Might be the last time something happened. And I might be alternating 2 years for my songs today.
What's the other? 2004?
That's correct, sir.
Well, maybe I will like half of the songs today. But we can all agree, from the Leafs losing.
Oh, the best.
To the Oilers getting by.
It's fine.
To the Flames barely getting by.
That's really good. I didn't want to see Dallas.
To the New York Rangers with a 3-1 comeback victory.
Oh, baby.
Did you see the Phoenix Suns, Matt, on the weekend? I didn't see that,
I flipped over and was like, wait, 40?
It's got to be wrong.
40?
Right? It's got to be wrong.
It was not wrong.
No,
and then I got a text from AJ.
Oh.
My team sucks. And because I didn't watch the start of the game, and I flipped over, and I was legit like,
I was
should I text AJ, like, what is going on? Or is he going to be so surly that it's not worth it? And I didn't text. He ended up texting a few minutes later. What happened, AJ? What happened?
I scored 27 points in the first half. I couldn't tell you what happened in the second half because I did not watch 1 second. But
I watched a little bit of the panel at halftime, and Chuck was not very happy. Chuck was embarrassed by his team. And
yeah.
And he was like, you got to come out in the third quarter and get it to 20. So it's that, not like.
And that was my number two, by the way. I said, okay, you know what? They're down 30. There's an overtime playoff game here. Pittsburgh and the Rangers. At that point, I believe it was, I can't remember exactly what it was. I mean, I watched a lot of that Penguins game, but I watched most of the first half. Suns Knicks, and I said, you know what? I'm out. This Rangers game has taken over. If it gets back to 20, I'll be back in. 20. I didn't say 5. I said 20.
That's a tough thing to say in a game 7 of a playoff series. If they can get it to 20, I'll turn back.
Yeah, and it's not like I turned it off like just to go run some errands and do some dishes. No, there was like some pretty good hockey on at the same time. So I was like, there's no way I'm not going to slog through this while the Rangers and Penguins are in the middle of an epic playoff game. And the next time I looked, they were down by 40. So I was like, okay, I think I made the right choice here.
Well, I saw the stat that Chris Paul was minus 39 in the game. And I'm like, I don't know. I'm not a basketball guy like through and through where I can tell you how many performances there have been that are way worse than that. But in a game 7, when you're one of their best players, minus 39 doesn't sound very good, AJ.
Was it one basket between him and...
Well, he had 10 points, Chris Paul.
But like in the first half?
Oh.
He had like one basket or something in the first half?
Well, they kept... I mean, half of the story was certainly Luka Doncic and how good he was. Like, he had as many points as the Suns did in the first half, and he was incredible. So that was half the story, but they scored 57, and Phoenix scored 27. And it was just like contested outside brick after contested outside prick. It was so painful to watch. Like, they were just chucking up shots that had no chance.
Wow, that's stunning to see that.
Yeah, it was piss poor, to say the least. So, yeah, we'll get Boston, Miami, and we'll get Golden State and Dallas, and Dallas deserves to be there. I'll say this about Dallas, as good as Luka Doncic is, and he's clearly one of the best players in basketball, when he's off the floor, and we talked to Dave Smart about this, right? I mean, they've got a really good team, and they play kind of a different style when he's off the floor, more up-tempo. Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. Whereas when he's on the floor, they play more to his capabilities and slow it down a little bit more. But really impressed with Dallas. But as much as I was impressed with Dallas, you can't be that bad in a game 7 on your home floor when you had the best record in the NBA. So it's what it is. At least they've won a playoff game in the last 18 years. So there's that. But playoff series,
you mean?
Yes, playoff series.
Because the Leafs also, and I know we're transitioning right into that, the Leafs also won 3 playoff games.
They did.
This year.
Again.
Yeah.
At least it wasn't 3-1 this year.
Okay, so let's talk about this here, because it's obviously the big story of the weekend. The Leafs lose in 7 games and are now 0-10 in their last 10 opportunities to close out a series.
Those are like Mike Smith numbers.
Yeah, right? Who, by the way, you got to give him credit, came up with a shutout in Game 7.
Sorry, they were Mike Smith numbers, not anymore, because he won a series.
We'll get to Edmonton-Calgary.
Yeah, and he won a series.
I promise, we'll get to both of those. But, AJ, first of all, just what your take on Game 7. It was close. It could have gone either way. I have some thoughts on it, but what did you think overall on Tampa being able to hold off Toronto on Saturday night?
Yeah, I mean, they looked like the team that had won before. Like, I never really felt, like in Game 6, I felt Tampa was in trouble a lot when that game was tied, when that game was in overtime. I know it was a 1-goal win, but I never really felt the same way. And maybe some people did. But I just never felt that game was going to be out of their control, even when it was 1-1. So, yeah, and what can you say about Nick Paul? I'm just thrilled for Nick Paul. I mean, the guy goes out and, you know, kind of like what we talked about, it's not an entire playoff run full of this, but you know, some of the names like Fernando Pisani and John Drews and Steve Penny and Chris Kontos that you kind of think of really only for what they did in the playoffs. And Nick Paul, I mean, I think in Ottawa you'll think about him for more, but you know, for a lot of people around the NHL that maybe haven't been watching the Ottawa Senators a ton the last few years, they're going to remember Nick Paul for this game. The game where he was a man on a mission. A third line that, quite frankly, I wasn't overly impressed with either of his line mates in Colton and Hagel. And they just kept throwing him out there, right? Like, I didn't even look at his final ice time at the end.
22 minutes.
22, like, they just kept throwing him out there, and like, what a smart decision by John Cooper, right? This guy's got it going on, right? And he has shown in very limited big games, I guess, right? But going back to the World Championship, and then in this Game 7, and he had a pretty good series before this anyway.
I thought he had a really good series before this.
So he has shown that he is a big game player. And for a guy who bet on himself, right? I mean, whatever the gap was, 250 grand or whatever it might have been.
Sounds like it was around 250 to 300. Yeah.
Whatever the gap was, doesn't matter, because Nick Paul is going to get paid more than he asked for.
Yep.
There will be 32 teams in the National Hockey League, including the Ottawa Senators, that try to sign him in the offseason. And he's going to get more than he asked for in negotiations. Probably a lot more. And good for him. He bet on himself. and he went out and he got the job done, because this is a guy, every team in the NHL could use a guy like him that can kill penalties, that can play multiple positions, that's, you know, hard to play against and can contribute a little bit offensively. And he showed in a big game that he can do that. And the attitude, right? Has anyone ever got anything bad to say about Nick Paul, the guy? So I don't know what he's going to get. 4 or 5 years, maybe $3 million, maybe $3.5 million. He's going to get paid. And I'm absolutely thrilled for him because he earned it. And that, to me, that was the story, right? I mean, at least for me, it was watching that game. I mean, there's a lot to talk about from a Toronto perspective and certainly, you know, what to do next. But for me, that was the story of the night.
You just can't help but feel good about it. And when you say it doesn't matter, I understand what you're talking about with the money, but it does matter to Sens fans. Because you look back now on this and go, I don't know what Matthew Joseph's going to do here. I have no idea. And I hope he does really well. It's hard to have an opinion on what Matthew Joseph really can do for this hockey team until we see him next year. But you knew what Nick Paul could do, and he was suited for this situation. And if you're hoping to get to this situation, you're going to need another guy like this. So I understand what you're saying, but I just, when it comes to the money, it matters to me. And I don't know if it matters to anybody else. It matters to me. For 300 grand a year, that guy could have been here. And was he going to be a big difference maker down the stretch in this year? No. At the beginning of next year? No. But when you're supposed to be where you want to be, you need a guy like that. And they had a guy like that. And they couldn't come up with 300 grand a year to keep him here. Okay. Well, I hope Matthew Joseph, sorry to put that on Matthew Joseph because it has nothing to do with Nick Paul, but you made that decision as an organization to let him go. He didn't want to go. He wanted to stay here. He just wanted to be compensated for it. And as you said, he's going to get way more than he asked for, and good for him. And everyone in Ottawa knows the story, but I hope the NHL will find out the story of how many times he was sent down and how many times he had to clear waivers and what it was like for Nick Paul to be a regular National Hockey Leaguer. We all know it. And that's why everyone in this market, yeah, it's against Toronto, everyone in this market is thrilled for Nick Paul. Thrilled. For the Leafs. It's hard to really, like, go after them. You can pick apart, and I saw a lot of people, we go back to game four, and they had a stinker, and they had more of the play in overtime in game six, and they should have used that as a way to put Tampa away. Tampa seemed a little bit vulnerable in the series. But, as you said, found a way to win. And to me, until they stopped doing this, this is what they did last year. They looked vulnerable against Florida. Right? They found a way, and they started to get going. Now, losing Braden Point might be, and he's day-to-day, he's not doubtful for game one. Hopefully they get him back. Didn't look good when he went off and came back. But for the Leafs, how do you assess now what you've seen and not try and put it into, it's great for us, and we will. I will talk about 18 years, and Matt's going to play songs from 1967 and 2004, and we're going to be all over them. But the facts are they played pretty well in this series. What do you do?
Yeah, I mean, it's not an easy answer. This is not an easy answer because I can't look at individuals, and in particular their top individuals, and say, man, that guy didn't get it done, right? And early in the series, you could have said that a little bit more on Tavares and Nylander. Mm-hmm. But, you know, those guys, especially in the last couple of games, were two of their best players. And, you know, it's not on Morgan Riley. I don't think it's on Marner and Matthews. I think in the end, you know, if Austin Matthews, if Leaf fans truly believe Austin Matthews is at the same level as Connor McDavid. And to me, you know, watching game six and game seven in particular in elimination games, I don't think it's close. I tweeted that on the weekend. I'll stand by it. I saw a couple people try and rebuff me about stuff. And you know what? It's not close. And if you do think it's close, then maybe the blame does have to go to Austin Matthews because he was nowhere near the level of Connor McDavid. But I don't think it's close.
In game seven or game six and seven? Because he was really good in game six.
Yeah, really good. But Connor McDavid, to me, is at a different level. That's what I'm saying. I'm not blaming Austin Matthews right at all. I just think Connor McDavid is at a completely different level. So if the people that think that they're not on a different level, I did not see Austin Matthews come anywhere near the level of Connor McDavid in the last three games in that series in particular, even if he played really, really well, which I thought he did. So, like, different types of players. But, you know, the reality was he was really good, but there are a lot of other players that were really good in the series. And Connor McDavid was on a different level altogether. So,
but now we're arguing about like two of the best players in the NHL, right?
Well,
like,
I'm just saying the best player in the NHL to me is a no doubter.
Okay.
And if you want to debate who the second best player in the NHL is, there's probably a lot of players that could be put in that category. You could put Victor Hedman in that category. But the best player in the NHL showed exactly how dominant he was in those last seven periods in particular in that series against Los Angeles. And I, as good as Austin Matthews is, and he is really, really good, he is a superstar. He never got anywhere near that level. I don't think it's possible for anyone in the league to be honest, but.
Okay. So back to the Leafs though for a second.
So I don't know what
to do. Problem. What can you do?
I think you have to try and move one of the high-priced forwards because I just don't think you're going to be able to sustain that lineup with four guys making that much. And obviously, you're not moving Austin Matthews, but I would have everything else in play. And that's not necessarily me saying that those guys were responsible. They all played well. They all played well in this series. But I just think you probably need a little bit more balance on that team. And certainly you can't have four guys making that much money. Four guys making that much money and they still didn't go out and win. And I get it. It's different circumstances. You're playing the two-time Stanley Cup champions, a team that just knows how to win, and they showed it. So I don't think it's an indictment of the Toronto Maple Leafs, unlike the last 2 years when they blew it against inferior opposition. But I just think going forward, I look at those numbers in terms of cap, and I don't think that's sustainable. Mm-hmm. You're just going to be light elsewhere throughout your roster in terms of what you're going to be able to do. You're just not going to be able to do much. You need a little bit more flexibility in terms of what you can do with your roster. And how do you do that? Well, you're going to have to move one of the stars.
Yeah, I can't disagree. Tavares has a no-move clause, like a full no-move.
Yeah.
So
if he doesn't want to go anywhere, he's
not going anywhere.
Yeah.
And I don't think he's going to want to go anywhere. So now you're down to Marner and Nylander. There are some other bigger contracts on the team. But, I mean, you'd have to think about Muzzin or Brody, who make over $5 million. You'd have to throw them into a conversation about where you're going to find some relief in your money and be able to stack your team. But the difference between Marner and Nylander, we can say it's easy. Like, Nylander's the easy guy, right? Like, he's the first guy, I think, that comes to mind that go, you know what? Could they win if they didn't have William Nylander in the lineup? And the answer to me is yes. But he also makes, as much as he makes $4 million less than Mitch Marner a year.
One, and now might be, given, I thought he played well in this series, and maybe that helps someone else say, you know what, This is a guy that played pretty well in a best of seven against Tampa Bay. Maybe his value went up a little bit. I'm saying maybe. I'm not even sure I really believe that, but maybe, right?
I'll erase the 20 minutes you're talking about the snowplow earlier on in the series. I'll erase that part. And yes, you're not wrong. He came on as the series went. Here is Mitch Marner talking about next year.
Make sure that come back as a better team, strength-wise, faster, quicker. We're getting sick and tired of feeling like this, so we got to make sure we're ready for this upcoming season.
Yeah, I'm sure a lot of people are sick and tired of it. We'll take your thoughts at 12-1200.
The playoff format's the same, right? They're going to have to find a way to finish first.
Yep, and that's it. You can't put – they put themselves in this spot. And it's hard because I think they're good. I actually – and I said this to you before, I maintain it. I would have taken them against any other team in the Eastern Conference in the first round. I don't care who it was. Florida, Carolina, don't care. I think they could have got by. But when you have the inability to close and you're playing the best closer in the league, that's a hard hill to overcome, and they couldn't do it. We'll take your thoughts. You can call in 750-1200, star 1200 on the Bell Network. You can text in at 12-1200. We will get to Edmonton and Calgary, barely getting by, but they both found a way to get into the Battle of Alberta in the second round. Lieber Sage, AJ Jackieback with Matt Conazvita here on The Drive on TSN 1200.
The Drive continues on TSN 1200.
I can't believe it took this long, but you finally have overthought a series here. Finally, you've overthought the New York Rangers.
Fox for Panarin, top the right circle, moves in, shoots, off the, it's in! Artemi Panarin scores, and the Rangers have won Game 7 in overtime!
Unbelievable!
And always amazing how much work Conazvita does when it benefits him. Welcome back to The Drive. Here on TSN 1200. 3-1 lead. You lose Sidney Crosby.
Never mind that. Did I make a good Michael?
And?
Nah, it was average. It was average.
I'd say you're slightly above average.
Yeah.
But okay. Closer to average than great. Like, you're not at Creech's. Wow!
That's. You're right. Every time I hear that.
That's pretty good.
Yeah, sorry, AJ, average. 3-1 lead for the Penguins and lost Crosby and no goaltending and thought they had it last night. I did. Third period, I thought the Penguins were gonna close it out. But what a weekend. It almost is the perfect segue into just the weekend for the ex-Ottawa Senators. I mean, we talked about Nick Paul in the first segment, and he is the story, but when you're getting the game winner in Game 7 from Cody Ceci and Mika Zibanejad ties a Game 7 in the third period to send it to overtime, it's a pretty big ex-Ottawa Senators weekend. A lot of teams got sensed, I saw on social media. A lot of teams got sensed on the weekend, AJ. Matt, what a weekend for... I mean, Zibanejad was terrific in the series, especially in Game 6 and Game 7.
Once Kreider threw the iPad.
Yeah.
That turned it all around for Mika.
Yeah.
And then I love how they focused on the broadcast last night that Kreider, all right, Mika, you can look this time, but if you get too serious, it's getting tossed again.
I don't jump off my couch very often for games. I don't, it's not that I don't care, but I'm not like completely invested in. Like, I'm a neutral observer to the Kings and the Oilers. I'm hoping for a little bit of a meltdown, but at the same time, I'm kind of hoping for the Battle of Alberta. But what I was really hoping for is a Cody Ceci goal to open the scoring.
How about Vlad Namestnikov scoring as well?
Yeah.
In what would have been, I mean, it was a go-ahead goal at the time.
Yeah.
Cody Ceci, though. Lee feels vindicated, even with his overthinking the Rangers. Yeah.
When a series ends in overtime in Game 7, it's tough to pick from those two teams. But you guys did. 7-1 you guys were. in the first round.
7-1, got the Blues Wild wrong.
Pretty good. It's pretty good.
When are we doing round two?
Well, before the end of the day.
Okay.
Do you need a time?
No, I got my picks already.
Do you? Okay. Yeah, well, I mean, we all did well. I lost that series, too. I went 6-2 and lost in Game 7 overtime. It's the way it goes. It's just too bad Sidney Crosby got hurt. I think they would have won if Sidney Crosby doesn't get hurt. But that's what happens in the playoffs. So, but just the weekend for the Sens, the ex-Sens.
Ifs and buts and uncles.
Thought it was candies.
Yeah, how do the uncles work in? Because the way I know it is...
If my aunt had...
Oh, okay.
She'd be my uncle.
Gotcha.
Oh.
Okay. You're mixing your metaphors here, which we didn't realize.
Yeah, we didn't grow up in the same household as AJ.
Because I always hear the JR with the, if ifs and buts were candies and nuts, we'd all have a marvelous Christmas.
Yeah, that's...
And I didn't realize the metaphor you were mixing. You did that on Friday as well, and I let it go, but you did it again today. I'm glad Lee brought it up. I was also confused. Now I know.
We all...
My aunt would be my uncle.
We're communicating. That's good.
Back to the ex-Sens, though.
Yeah.
21 points for those three players in the playoffs so far. 4 for Nick Paul, which for him, that's a pretty good number, right? He's not asked to be a top-line guy and play in the power play.
Mm-hmm.
4 points in 7 games for him. Cody Ceci was 6 from the back end, and he's been Edmonton's best defenseman in these playoffs. So
6 points and a +8 in that series.
No, he was really good. Happy for Cody and great to see him succeed. And then you look at Mika Zibanejad and his 11 points in that series with the New York Rangers and just working magic with Chris Kreider in particular. So, yeah, great to see them all doing well. I think some Sens fans probably ruining the fact that one or two of these guys aren't still in Ottawa, but yeah, that page is turned. I guess you can still go out and put an offer in for Nick Paul. I mean, if you put out an offer and all of a sudden his value is doubled, do you go out and kind of compete in that vein for a Nick Paul, or do you just concede that you're not going to get him because this is a guy that's probably going to command, I would think, somewhere in the $3 million range?
Yeah, it would totally depend on, you know, Nick's desire to come back here and how important it would be for him to want to come back. Because when you get in that sort of environment, people always say, like, once you leave, that's why it's so hard to come back.
Yeah.
When now that you're in a different environment, you're watching how a 2-time Stanley Cup champion team goes about things. And then you're a big part of the success in round one, and it feels like he's fitting in more and more. I think he had a terrific series. He was out there doing a number of good things all the time. His ice time, I think the least he had was 17 and a half, and the most he had was 22. He was somewhere in between there all the time. And it's just been a valuable addition to that team. He went down to Florida, and that's where he kind of started changing his routine and meditating and doing all the things necessary to kind of get himself back to where he wanted to be in the first place. I think he feels pretty comfortable in Florida. Might be hard to get him out if Tampa realizes they can get him at a decent value. So, the other two, I think it would be tough for the other two to be here through all of the bad times and not get blamed for some of those bad times. Like, this team hasn't won in 5 years, and that's how long, right? Like, they traded Zibanejad in 17 to bring in Brassard, right? So, they've been terrible since then. And how much blame would Mika Zibanejad have got if he was still here? That one's a hard one to go back on, to think that you're just getting the same guy that you're seeing now flourish in New York.
Yeah, and sometimes a fresh start helps guys, but I didn't love that trade. I'm not going to say I hated that trade when it happened, but I didn't love it. I just thought Mika was still developing and was going to keep getting better. And in the end, you know, you won some playoff series out of it. I mean, Broussard was really good in that postseason, but, you know, Zibanejad's a legitimate number one center right now. And those guys aren't easy to come by. So, didn't love that trade at the time. And now it's looking a lot worse.
Yeah, but there are other examples, right? Like, yeah. You know, Josh Norris comes here from the Sharks because they get Carlson. Suzuki goes to Montreal in the Vegas deal.
Yeah, no,
Like,
it's funny because you mentioned the Norris deal, right? They didn't love the return they got initially on that either, and it ends up being one of the best trades in Ottawa Senators history. So just because you don't love something right off the bat doesn't mean, you know, like you're always going to be wrong on certain things, right? And certainly, again, I didn't have a great feeling on either trade, and one turned out really well, and one has turned out really poorly. Simple as that.
Some texts coming in at 12-1200. Post-game, Nick Paul, I've been waiting a long time to play in the playoffs, and now I'm playing with great players in a great organization. Sounds like a bit of a diss to me. Not happy, Sens wouldn't pay him, I guess. I didn't take it like that. I heard the context. I heard him say that after the game. He's just trying to say the right thing in a big moment, not make it all about himself. He is in a new environment. He is playing with great players in a great organization. I mean, it's not like anybody's looking at Tampa going, well, Ottawa's kind of similar. No, they're not. So I didn't take it like that. He is playing with great players in a great organization right now. I don't think that's a diss to Ottawa. He's playing with the two-time defending Stanley Cup champion, Tampa Bay Lightning, who just defeated a really good Toronto Maple Leaf team in 7 games. I didn't take it like that at all.
Is Joe in there?
Sorry, just going through. Is he in yet? There's a lot of texts that have come in since.
No sign of Joe.
I'm not saying that. No sign of Joe yet.
I haven't heard from Joe either.
Okay.
We'll see. I'm sure maybe he's listening.
The Robber Baron is in. What you guys are discussing about Nick Paul this afternoon goes directly to what I said last week about some of the respect the Sens, or lack thereof, the management shows to their veterans. They lowball everyone, and guy after guy leaves. Is it any wonder no free agents of any consequence want to come here, and the Sens only end up with also Rans and guys on the way out from the Robber Baron? Yeah, I mean, I don't have the exact number, but talked to a number of different people that sounds like it was around, as you know, you said too, AJ, between 250 and 300 grand a year, which on a 4-year deal is, you know, about $1.2 million, $1.3 million, whatever it ends up being. And they elected to go in a different direction.
They got a pretty good player back too, right? It's not like they just got a pick. They got a pretty good player back. So I'm going to let this one play out a little bit more.
It's very hard to know what Matthew Joseph's going to be with this team.
Yeah, right, but he played really well here.
Yep.
And has greater offensive upside. We knew that when the trade happened, that they were getting the faster player and they were getting the player with more offensive upside. Nick Paul was, you know, the bigger, more physical guy. And maybe they think they've got enough of those types of guys to get through a playoff series eventually. I mean, first and foremost, you have to get to the playoffs.
I think the issue with the Nick Paul one in particular is another text that comes in. The Tampa win was bittersweet for Ottawa fans. From Ron, we saw Nick Paul being Nick Paul. We needed and wanted him on the Ottawa Senators, but our GM or somebody in the franchise wouldn't come up with the amount to keep him here. The GM must have been squirming watching the guy he let go win a game 7 for the Lightning. Look, Nick Paul was not the answer to why the Senators were going to be a Stanley Cup contender next year. But he's also the answer is when you get there, just like Tampa is there. And they've gone out and got before. They went out and got Goudreau, and they went out, who's the other, Blake Coleman. they went out and got, and Nick Paul, and, you know, they paid handsomely for Brandon Hagel, a younger guy. That's a little bit different.
I don't love that trade right now. Watching him a lot more. I mean,
he's young.
He is young. They gave up a lot for him.
Yes, they did. And we'll see how that pans out. But Nick Paul is what Tampa needs right now. They need a player like that. Ottawa would like a player like that in another year or two when it matters more with big games. And sometimes you have to pay up to keep them so that when you get there, you have that guy. They elected not to do it. I can understand why some Sens fans were watching that game going, of course Nick Paul had himself a big game in the biggest game ever against the Leafs in Game 7. Because of course he did. But I agree with you, AJ. Nick Paul did everything the right way. Guys loved him. Bet on himself, and he's going to win. And nobody will be unhappy for him that knew him here.
Well, and we have Dave Smart on every week for a reason, right? I mean, guy's a sharp guy. And when he talks up guys about this is a guy that you can win with, you can probably win with guys like that. And obviously his relationship with Nick Paul is very strong, but it's strong because Dave believes that that's a guy that you can win with. And if a guy who's won as much as Dave Smart has believes that that's a guy that you can win with and will win with, you should probably find a way to keep him around.
Back with more of The Drive. AJ, Jackie, Beck, Matt, Consvita, and myself, Lieber Sage, here on The Drive on TSN 1200.
Let's get back to The Drive on the home of the Sens, TSN 1200.
Welcome back to The Drive, Lieber Sage, AJ, Jackie, Beck, Matt, Consvita. All the songs today, Matt Consvita, will be what? Alternating between 1967 and
the 2004. Two most important years today.
Right.
1967, 2004. This, not from 2004. I'm not sure if you would have guessed that on your own, but Windy by The Association from the number four song of the year for the year 1967.
So far, I can very clearly say it was not a great year in music, 1967. Hearing the number one and number four songs of the year so
this
far.
This song always makes me think of Breaking Bad. And a little montage of Wendy going about her day outside the motel.
Can people not just be happy for Nick Paul without bashing the Sens? Trade's a win for both teams. He just did the city a huge favor by scoring two goals in Game 7 to eliminate the Leafs. Be happy for him.
I think
that's for Menzo.
I think that's fair. Yeah. I think that's absolutely fair. And right now, like I said, like I was disappointed to see Nick Paul go, right? You can be of two minds. I don't like losing guys like that from your organization. But I do think they got a pretty good player in Joseph. And so then, I think, again, if they would have just, if it was picks and prospects, then you'd say, well, this is the same old. But you got a player that looks like he's got more offensive upside that fits in pretty good with the group from what I understand and, you know, had a real good start. I don't expect him to be a point-a-game guy over 82 games, but looks like he has more offensive upside. This is a team that looks like they've got a lot of guys that can potentially play in the bottom six. They need a couple more that can play in the top six. And I don't know where Joseph is. Is he a third-line player? I think he's for sure a third-line player. Is he a second-line player? That we don't know yet, right? Because we haven't seen it on a consistent enough basis. But I do know this team still needs a couple more guys that can play in the top six. And Joseph, probably amongst the guys that are in the organization right now, at least that have played a substantial amount of NHL games, has the best chance to be that guy.
Well, yeah, I mean, that's a different discussion. There's another text here that says, can we stop it with the Nick Paul regret? We got someone back that's fairly good as well. I love Nick Paul, but we all know that he's no more than a third liner. Those guys can be found when the Sens are ready to compete. Remember, Tampa didn't draft Goudreau or Coleman, so please stop discussing the topic as if the Sens made a horrible mistake with Nick Paul. Well,
we're going to talk about the subject. I think the jury's out in terms of what, who won the trade or whatever. It might end up being win-win, right? That happens a lot in terms of trades. And maybe it ends up being win-win. Win-win-win, right? Player ends up winning. And so far, Nick Paul's getting the experience that he's never had in the playoffs and is showing exactly what I think I expected out of him in the playoffs. Tampa Bay got a player that just helped them win round one. And Ottawa, jury's out, but so far so good on Joseph. So might be win-win-win.
Yeah, my issue with that text is that we don't know about Matthew Joseph. And for anybody to say yes or no, exactly where he's going to fit in, exactly how he's going to work with the group, what position he's going to be, you don't know the answer. And it doesn't mean it can't be a great answer. It might be an unbelievable, this guy is a second line scoring guy that really is part of your core of your group. He might be that. But why we're talking about it is because Nick Paul was a third liner. You're absolutely correct in that text. But he was also part of the core of the room and a guy you knew exactly what you're getting. And I don't think, like, it's really easy to say, oh, you can just go out and get that guy when you get there. Well, first of all, they're supposed to be there next year. Second of all, now you have to go out and spend either a really good player or a first-round pick or something like that just to go get that guy when you need him. You have him, and you elected not to pay the $300,000 a year to keep him. So when you have those guys and you've done all the work, you've sent them down, you've spent money, you've waived them, he's gone through all of the tough parts, and now he's finally here. When you have him, sometimes you have to make decisions to keep people. That's why we're talking about it right now. But the other part of that question, AJ, that we're not going to know the answer to, is that when this team is good, is Matthew Joseph a second line guy? Because if he's not that, is he exactly what you want on your third line? Like, I just don't know the answer yet to where exactly he fits in.
Won a couple of cups as a third liner.
Yep.
I just think they were looking for something different, Tampa Bay. It's win-win, but it's also, like, that's a team that looks like they miss his pace. Like, that's a team that in the bottom six looks like they miss his pace, his energy, a little bit of skill down there. So you could be saying the same stuff in Tampa about, geez, we could, you know, if all of a sudden they get run out of the rink by Florida, and I don't know how that series is going to go, but if all of a sudden they get run out of the rink by Florida, a team that looks like they're four lines deep, they look like a deeper team than Tampa Bay right now. And if they beat Tampa Bay, and especially if they beat them handily, there may be people in Tampa Bay saying, geez, we shouldn't have got rid of a guy like Joseph. So that can swing both ways, right? I think part of the reason they got rid of Joseph is because they didn't think they could sign him again. RFA this offseason, right? And was due for a raise, and that's part of the situation in Tampa Bay. Like, I'm not sure they're going to be able to re-sign Nick Paul, for example.
Right.
Because if Nick Paul's value on the open market is $3 to $3.5 million, has Tampa Bay got the room to pay him that? I don't know if they do. Maybe they make room because they think he's that valuable to the core. But there's a lot of different factors here.
All right, we'll take a break, come back with what you need to know. Another coach fired in the National Hockey League, and we'll talk about that opening. Dave Naylor is going to come on in the 4 o'clock hour, the latest on the CFL and where they are in their bargaining. So we got a lot to do. Leaper Sage, AJ Jakubik, Matt Connors-Vita on the drive on TSN 1200.